Welcome to Mountain View Church Audio, coming to you from the wilderness city, Whitehorse, Yukon. We strive to introduce people to Jesus through scripture, biblical instruction, and prayer with authenticity and vibrancy. You don't need to know anything about the Bible. Just sit back, relax, and let God do the rest.
Hi, do you struggle with having confidence in God? I'm Derek Baker. And this week, we're going to look at Psalm 27 and see how David, who is a man who struggles just like you and I, was able to find confidence in God despite all the problems that he was going through. He was able to find confidence in God's abilities, confidence in God's heart, and confidence in God's timing. And I hope that after you join us and we read Psalm 27 together and learn about David's life, that we all will have more confidence in God. David was a man after God's own heart. And even though he had a deep connection with God, he still had a lot of struggles in his life. It seemed that the more that God blessed him and the more success that he had, the more people opposed him and wanted to see him fail. One of these people was King Saul. Saul was actually the first king of Israel, and David was one of his fighting men, one of his warriors, one of his mighty men. And yet, the more that David was successful, the more jealous Saul got, to the point where God actually removed his favor from Saul and put his favor on David, and that made Saul insane, like insanely jealous. And so he started to pursue David and chased him around the wilderness, trying to kill David. He actually sent his armies to go after David. And so David was on the run a lot. Many times he had enemies who were pursuing him, trying to kill him, trying to catch him. And so as we look at Psalm chapter 27 this week, We can think of that context where David is on the run. He's being pursued by Saul and maybe other enemies, and David is crying out to God with this psalm. And so as we look at that, we can see where David had confidence in God. Do you struggle with confidence? In this day and age, especially over this last year, it's hard to have confidence or trust in anything or anyone. Many of us struggle with government. We might struggle with trusting the media. We may even doubt our own family members, friends, or neighbors because they have different views of restrictions than us, or vaccines, or masks, or whatever it is. We lack confidence these days, but we can have confidence in God. He never changes, and he never leaves us. So as we look at chapter 27, we're going to find three ways that David had confidence in God. And the first is this: we can have confidence in God's abilities. As I was writing this message, my wife and I were staying at the cabins over Craig Lake. And I don't know if you've ever stayed there or not, but it's beautiful. And I'm looking out the window, and in front of me is a beautiful mountain, a huge mountain. And Craig Lake is at its base. And so I look at this mountain, and I'm still one of those traditional Christians who believes that God created the universe, that he spoke into existence the mountains and the rivers and the lakes that make the Yukon beautiful. And so as I look at that, as I look at creation, I can see God is immensely powerful. He has great intellect. He has the ability to design all these systems that work together. He has great ability. And I can put my confidence more in God, knowing he has that ability. But David had confidence in God's abilities and recognized that Jehovah was his light, his salvation, and his stronghold. We can see that in verse 1. The Lord is my light. Now, if we talked about all the aspects of God being light, we could fill many sermons. And I'm not here to do that. We're not here just to talk about God being light. But it's important to recognize that God was David's light. In the book of 2 Samuel, David says this, "You are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness." A little bit further on, and this is when David is towards the end of his life, he's saying his last words to people. He says this, "He, being God, dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning, like rain that makes the grass to sprout on the earth." It's God's light that brings us hope in heartaches, joy in our frustrations, and inner peace during conflict. David also said, "The Lord is my salvation." Now, David had confidence that God was going to be his salvation. And I think that we as Christians these days, when we hear the word salvation, we automatically think of eternal life and being saved from our sins. And those are really good things to think about, to consider, very much a New Testament perspective or a post-New Testament perspective. But in the Old Testament, when people would talk about God being our salvation, they were talking about physical salvation, physically being rescued from the crisis that they're in. When an enemy is chasing you through the wilderness, you want God to be your salvation. When the army is encamped around your city and sieging your city, you want God to show up and rescue you. You want him to bring in another army that is going to attack your enemy or something. You want God to be your physical salvation. And so that's the confidence that God, or that David had in God, was that God was going to show up and rescue him. Today, you may not be facing a literal army encamped on your front yard, but chances are you have something going on in your life that you need God to show up and rescue you from. Maybe it's something like an addiction that you're struggling with, or it could be a hopeless job situation. Maybe it's an unhealthy relationship. It could even be a financial crisis. This last week, we had to get our van fixed, and the repairs were definitely unexpected. They didn't fit into our budget for the month. And it made me remember back to another time when we had to get our van fixed, and we really didn't have the money. And yet God supplied through a donor that just happened to have sent a check, and that check arrived at the exact right time to cover those payments or to cover those repairs. So this last week, I'm at Canadian Tire, and I'm there to pay for the vehicle repairs. And I go up to the till, and the bill's $500.61. And I just flippantly said to God in my mind, "How are you going to supply for this one?" And I paid with my credit card. I got home. My wife checks the mail, and she comes in with a check for $500 from a church here in the Yukon. It was within 61 cents of what the repair cost. It's things like that that give me confidence in God's abilities to show up, to provide, to be the salvation for physical needs that we have. David also says, "The Lord is my stronghold." It's not only rescuing that we need, but we actually need God's protection. We need him to protect us from things around us. David talks of God's protection in the first six verses of chapter 27. I want to read those to you. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices and shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. In a day when we can't have confidence, and we definitely can't control what's going on around us, we need to have confidence that God will be our stronghold, that God will be our protector. So not only can we be confident in God's abilities, but we can be confident in God's heart. It's in these next verses that we see David longing to be connected deeper and more to God than he already was. Do you have a longing for God? Not just to get something from God, but to actually get God. We can see in verses 7 to 11, David's longing to get a deeper level of relationship with God. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. So as David wants to have a deeper relationship with God, we can see three ways that he actually is seeking that out. First, David wanted God to be merciful to him. So much of the Psalms are David and others just crying out to God and just giving God an earful about how they're frustrated and how, like with David, would be really upset about the injustices that were happening to him. He would get frustrated with, why are the wicked prospering when the righteous seem to be dwindling and suffering? And so Psalm 27 is one of those psalms where David is just crying out. And we can really see the humanity in David. David was a real person, just like you and I. He had struggles, just like you and I do. And in the next chapter, he calls out and he says, God, be merciful to me. Listen to me. Hear me. And in the next chapter, 28, he actually says, God did hear my cry and was merciful. God hears our prayers as well. God is listening to you. He hears you when you call to him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God hears your cries. Second, David wanted to seek God's face. Now, I think there's a cultural thing going on here that we as North Americans may not pick up on. We may not fully understand what David is saying here. The location and the time that the Bible was written, the culture very much emphasized shame and honor. And you can see that. And so when David's saying, I seek after your face, don't turn your face away from me, this is about seeking honor from God. It's seeking acceptance, to be approved by God. He doesn't want God to turn away in shame, to be ashamed of David. David wants God to approve him. He wants God to be proud of him. and to welcome him in to his presence. He recognized that God is the ultimate king. Now, if you want to go into the presence of a king, you need to be a special person. Not just anybody goes into the presence of a king. Think about that. Who is in the presence of the king? Usually it's the people closest to the king. It's the ones he confides in. It's the people that he's intimate with. It's the ones that he chooses to honor. David wanted to be honored by God. And you know what? We have access to God as the king, as the ultimate king of the universe. We are able to have access to God. You can read about this in Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 16 says this, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need." The third way that David wanted to connect more with God was to be accepted as his child. And so you can see in verse 10, it says, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." Now, in other translations, they actually say, "If my father and mother forsake me." We actually don't really have evidence that David's parents abandoned him or rejected him. But I think the heart of the situation, the heart of that statement is, even if the closest people to you walk away from you or reject you, God will welcome you in. God will accept you into his family. I can't help but think about people all over the world that when they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are rejected by their family. There are some who their family members are even trying to kill them because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And so even when they're separated from family or they're ostracized from their society, God with open arms welcomes them in, accepts them as his children, and joins them to a global family of Jesus followers. That's amazing. So we can be confident in God's abilities. We can be confident in God's heart. But we can also be confident in God's timing. And I recognize this is probably the hardest one for any of us to have confidence in. Because we can't see God. We can't see what he's doing right now. We don't know, is he listening to us? Is he not paying attention, or is he just being aloof? We don't know, right? And so it can be really hard to trust God and his timing. But I want to encourage you, God's timing is perfect. He is listening, he does care, and his timing is perfect. How things are isn't how they always will be. Let me say that again. How things are now isn't how they always will be. I don't know about you, but that's something I need to be reminded of right now. After this year, and all we can really see right now is the restrictions, the issues, the people that we hear about on the news who are sick and who are dying. We just get stuck in this situation right now. But how things are right now isn't how they always will be. And we can see David in the scriptures, David had faith and confidence in this, that even though his situation was terrible at the moment, he knew he was going to see God's blessing. Verse 13 says this, "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." So he knew that even while he was still alive, he was going to see God bless him. God was going to do something great, despite the fact that he was on the run. But how we wait on God is important. I don't think it counts as waiting on God if we're throwing a temper tantrum, if we are lashing out at people around us in frustration, if we are cutting people down on social media. That's not waiting on God. That's not waiting well. David says this in verse 14, Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait on the Lord. Now, as you read Psalms, and especially like even here in Psalm 27 with David, what you find out is he goes back and forth. His language goes back and forth. He's praying to God, and then another moment he is reassuring himself about how he's supposed to believe or act or feel. And then he's praying back to God, and then he's reassuring himself on how he's supposed to believe, act, or feel. Do you ever have that where you have to remind yourself, no, this is what I believe in. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is how I'm supposed to act. I know I do. I have to remind myself. The gospel is for all of us, and it's for every day. It's not just when we come to Christ. It's not just when we first say that prayer of confession. No, the gospel is for every day, because every day we need to be reminded about who God is and our relationship to Him. We need to remember that God is perfect and I am not. We need to remember that God is a God of second chances and forgives. God gives second chances when I mess up, and He draws people into His family who are not perfect, and I am one of them. God is changing the world, one transformed life at a time, and He is inviting me and you to be a part of that transformational work. Jesus demonstrated selflessness. He demonstrated that to us, to all of us. And we need God's help to follow His example. We need God every single day. When that transformation work is slower than I would like, I need to wait patiently for God. How I wait can be worship to God. Our waiting on God can be a form of worship to Him. There are times when we say we trust God, and our actions may say otherwise. If we really trust in Him, we are going to put the weight of our lives on Him. That's a demonstration of our faith. Now, you may be familiar of the trust chair. And that's when I was at camp, we would show that to campers. You know, you would just, when you go to sit down in a chair, you just sit in a chair. You don't go looking underneath the chair and check it out to make sure it's going to hold your weight. You just sit in the chair, and that's a demonstration of your trust in that chair. You don't go looking around. I mean, I understand sketchy camp chairs that are sun-baked. You better check those things out. But generally, we just sit down and we trust what we sit on. When we rest in assurance of God, we're saying, God, I trust you, and I believe that your plan is better than mine. But many times when we say we trust God, we don't rest our full weight on God's plan. It's like pretending you're sitting on a chair, but really you're staying about a centimeter off of it. Now, when we fully rest on God, and I mean rest in a way that, like, God, if you aren't real and you don't act, I'm in trouble and I'm going to look like a fool. When we put our whole weight on God, it's beautiful worship to Him. It's a demonstration of our faith. So another way that in our waiting that we can be worshiping God is through prayer. I just read a book this week. It just came out. It's brand new, called Crazy Church Ladies. And it is the story of a ministry called Priceless, which is started by a woman named Gwen Adams. I've met. She's amazing. And this ministry is to help women who have been affected by sex trafficking in Anchorage, Alaska. Anchorage, Alaska has a huge problem when it comes to sex trafficking. And so when Gwen Adams and These church ladies started Priceless. They didn't have any clients. They didn't have anything that they were actually doing other than praying. That's all they could do at first was just pray. And so they would pray. And then they started to include other people in praying. And they started making people in the city aware of the issue and invited them into praying. And they started groups. And so there was groups going on all over the city praying for this problem and the solution and for Priceless as a ministry. And so for months and months, they just prayed. And then God gave them their first clients. And now Priceless is a thriving, amazing ministry, helping many women, and now even helping men who, to prevent them from going into, to being the consumers of that industry. But God wanted to prepare them first to rest on Him, to depend on Him long before He allowed them to actually start helping other people. God wants us to be confident in Him. He wants us to be confident in His abilities. He wants us to be confident in His heart. He wants us to be confident in His timing. David had confidence in God. Even when he couldn't see God or knew or know that God had something amazing in store for his life, David put his assurance in God's goodness and expected God to act. And so we saw that play out in the wilderness. Saul is chasing David down. He's got him cornered. He's in the wilderness of En Gedi. That's a place in Israel. And in the wilderness of En Gedi, there's this large cave. And so when Saul sees this, he goes, that's a good private place. He decides he's going to go into this cave alone and relieve himself. He's going to use the washroom in the cave. It's a big cave. What he doesn't know is that's where David's hiding. David and hundreds of his people are hiding in the back of the cave. And so they see Saul come in there. Saul's by himself and ends up in a very compromising situation. And one of the men whispers to David, "David, this is where God hands your enemies to you." So David sneaks up to Saul. Saul doesn't know what's going on. And David takes out his knife or his sword, and he cuts off the corner of the king's robe. And as soon as he does that, he's convicted in his heart that he did something wrong, that he just touched, put his hand on God's anointed king. And so he backs away. He still quietly backs away. Saul still doesn't know what's going on. And Saul leaves the cave to rejoin his forces. And David sneaks back out to the opening of the cave and calls out to Saul from a distance, holding up the robe, and says, "Hey, Saul, look, I could have taken your life, but I didn't. Why are you chasing me? Why are you coming after me? I've done nothing wrong to you. I've spared your life. I've helped you. Why would you come after me?" And we see in a momentary period of remorse, Saul relents, chasing after David. Later on, God takes Saul's life in a battle, but it's a battle not with David. David never has to attack Saul. And so God dealt with Saul on his own time and in his own way, and allows David to become the king of Israel. David demonstrated his trust and his confidence in God. He waited on God. He rested on God. David wasn't perfect. In fact, he made some pretty major mistakes as king. But God didn't cast him aside. In fact, God included David in some pretty cosmic plans. How about you? Have you made some big mistakes in your life? Do you feel that God can't possibly use you? It's not true. As long as you still have air in your lungs, God has a plan for your life. He wants to use you. But he wants you to turn to him. He wants you to seek after him. He wants you to take a step in his direction in faith. I know I'm speaking to many who have been a part of this church for a long, long time, and you're extremely mature. You have grown immensely spiritually. But I'm also know that I'm talking to some people that have never joined God's family. Like I said, the gospel is for all of us, and it's for every day. We have to be reminded to have confidence in God. So for those of you who have been Christians for a long, long time, you've been following after God for a long, long time, I want you to look at ways to grow your confidence in God and to put your confidence in him into action, into work. Take leaps of faith for God to draw closer to him. But for those of you who have maybe never joined God's family, and maybe this is the first time you're hearing about this type of message, and you're like, I want to know more, and I want to seek God, I want to join his family, then I want to encourage you to pray with me as I pray this prayer. Dear God in heaven, I know you exist. I know that you're powerful, and I know that you're perfect. God, I have made many mistakes, and I need you to forgive me. I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins, and that he came back to life on the third day, and now he's with you. Lord, I pray, forgive me of my sins, and give me your Spirit to come into my life, to be able to lead me to act the right way for you. God, change me and help me. Build my confidence in you, God, I pray. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if that's the first time that you've prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you to speak to somebody here at Mountain View Church. We want to celebrate with you. Anytime somebody turns their life over to God or comes back to God, maybe you've wandered away, but now you've decided you want to come back to God and be a part of his family again, let somebody at this church know. They want to celebrate with you. They want to pray with you, and they want to help you in your next steps. I want to leave you with two questions for this week, two questions to think about. To be able to talk to your friends about, or as you get into small groups, to be able to discuss together. And the first question is this: our confidence in God grows as we see him work. So what are one or two ways that you have seen God answer your prayers or has done something miraculous in your life? The second question is this: what is something that you believe that God has put in your heart, something that he's leading you towards or to do, but he's asking you to wait and to pray about it before he's going to act? I pray as you contemplate these questions, as you think back about Psalm 27 and David's life on the run, that God will build your confidence in him, that you will grow deeper in your knowledge and understanding, and that you will see God work in amazing ways. God bless you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Mountain View Church Audio. If you have given your life to Jesus today or would like to join, serve, or support Mountain View Church, please let us know. Email connect@mountainviewwhitehorse.ca. That's connect@mountainviewwhitehorse.ca. Lastly, feel free to connect with us through social. Just search @mountainviewwhitehorse. Have a blessed week.